Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hoot and Holler Show, and I'm Linda filling in for Bill and crew. Bill and his family, some of them are going to a funeral today for the pastor that married Jolene and Bill. So I'm coming at you from a very hot, muggy Oceanside, California. It's 90 degrees everywhere, and it stinks. We are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's Patriot Families of the YS. Welcome, everybody, Lonnie, Yo, and Nick, and Mikey B. I know that there was a couple of things playing at the same time. I was trying to find out where it was so I could – I hope you guys could hear me. Hope you could hear the song. So if you want to type in and let me know what's going on with that. Anyway, welcome. And like I said, it's hotter than blazes, so I need to pray a lot so that there's no portent of me going to the hot place later on in the next life. Anyway, so I wanted to start today with a little bit of scripture because it's fitting, and it was sent to me by Bradley Dean, and I'm going to get into a little bit of my meeting today with a council member that I had breakfast with, so that went really well. We'll catch all this stuff. Anyone that wants to call in, that would be 646-378-0321. Bill did say earlier in his text that he was going to try to call in, so if he had time or if he could. So this is called Wanted: Prophets to Call America to Repentance, and this is by Bradley Dean, and it's one of his weekly commentaries. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, he who pointed his finger at King Herod for all of the evils in which he had done, Luke 3:19. Some Elijah, he who confronted King Ahab and Jezebel, 1 Kings 18:17. And others, Jeremiah, he who was sent to warn the king's priests as well as the people to turn back to God. And that would be Jeremiah 1, verse 10, or one of the prophets, Matthew 16, 19. I'm going to try to get into the rest of this article without losing my place, because if this heat does anything bad to my computer, the show will be over prior to the 1 hour. Anyway, it goes on. It is interesting to note that big corporations in America will hire out troubleshooters to spot the problems within their companies to remove obstacles that stand in the way of the growth of their businesses. Yet in America today, both the church and the government, which merely reflect the people, will have nothing to do with such troubleshooters when it comes to being corrected in the face of a just and holy God. Quotes in parentheses Deuteronomy 32:5. Why should America listen to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3:2? She has nothing to repent for in America's imagination. She feels that she has been delivered to do what she wills without the rule of God's government. America has forgotten that God, in his mercy, sacrificed his son for the sins of the world, 1 John 2:2, and he did all of this to set a people free from sin, John 8:36, and also Colossians 1:13. In truth, the American people have turned on their liberator only to fall into the pit they have dug through their purposed and willful acts of lawlessness. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies, and the American people have forsaken mercy to their own demise. That would be Jonah 2:8 and Jeremiah 7:28. Liberty is the right to do what the law permits. A law Christ fulfills, Romans 7:22 through 25, in order to liberate from sin, Titus 3:4, that you might be quickened by grace to be saved, Ephesians 2:1, through faith, and that not of yourselves, knowing that it is a gift from God, Ephesians 2:8. America is not at liberty to sin and expect to remain free. Sin brings forth bondage. That would be John 8:34, and in the end, death, Romans 6:23, that death is both for the individual and also for a nation. America, do not be like those of old who failed to learn from the history of those who departed from the living God, only to find that he meant what he said. For it is written, that would be Psalm 119, verse 89, and if you still want to remain in denial or remain obstinate to God's word, and feel that you need to tempt God through your willful transgressions, do remember what Jesus, the light of men, said to those who refused his truth as he was walking to Calvary to be crucified. Quoting, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? That was from Luke 23, verse 27 through 31. Why did Christ say these things? It was because they received not the love of the truth, which is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, the heart of the to reform and protect. Also keep in mind that they who are sent by Christ are not sent to tell the world that everything is all right. They are sent to slay sin. You still have time to repent. That would be Deuteronomy 30, 19 and Hebrews 3, 8 through 9. So I wanted to share that one with you because it was so important today, and it will always be important. So, hi, Rod. Welcome to the show. We've already welcomed the others. And again, 646-378-0321. I'm going to, I want to get to one that Rod sent me really quickly, and then we will go to a couple of other things that we, this was a quick one. It's the United Nations to dump a flood of Muslim refugees on the United States. So this particular article is dealing with, I believe, Syria. Why would anyone think this would be a good idea? Displaced Syrians will likely pick up the next big wave of Muslim refugees coming to America. Oh, joy. Displaced Syrians, since the early 1990s, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees has selected more than 200,000 refugees from Islamic countries to be settled in the United States. Most of them have come from Somalia and Iraq. Syria could soon be added to the mix in the midst of that country's brutal civil war. The Obama administration has been greasing the skids for the Syrian refugees for months. WorldNet Daily has learned, and the refugees will soon be dumped on American cities throughout the United States. In February, the State Department moved to ease the rules that protect the U.S. from accepting refugees with potential ties to terrorist organizations. Well, how benevolent of them. The rules were seen as too strict by the refugee settlement groups that lobby Congress and the administration to continuously let in more Muslims from the war-torn Middle East. Oh, my God. Then on September 4th, a U.S. State Department spokeswoman hinted at her daily press briefing that a new wave of refugees will soon be coming from another predominantly Muslim nation, Syria. Great. More stuff to worry about. Anyway, I would like to invite you folks to call in anyway. I didn't have anything prepared because I didn't have a long notice. It was kind of early this morning. I had a meeting with Councilman Jack Feller, and it was actually pretty wonderful. We only got to hang out for an hour, but I wanted to talk to him about refining my message to the council and to the members of the audience who are usually there. And I said, I'm not getting through. What am I doing? What am I doing wrong? So we talked about SANDAG. We talked about Transnet. We talked about the general plans, the transportation element. And he's on the same page as I am. And he said, sometimes in a city, you know, the monies that come from SANDAG are good things, and it's up to the council to decide what they're going to do with these roads, et cetera, et cetera. So he's very upset with the roundabouts, which is called traffic calming, and that's just right out of the Agenda 21 playbook. And, you know, I told him, I said, everybody that has them hates them. I said, it's stupid, it's a waste of money, and all it's going to do is make things worse. And he did agree with me, and we got a chance to speak on many issues, including rent control and, the property rights of people who own the business or own the land where these mobile home parks are. And I explained to him, I know that these parks are going away, and it's all part of the big plan. And he pretty much figured out that that was true. And I explained to him what my plan of escape is, and it won't be too much longer. In fact, in about 45 minutes, there's going to be the first meeting of the homeowners on the other side of the street, which is a totally different issue from ours, because the man who runs that business owns the land underneath those coaches. He does not own the land here. The person who owns the land and much of the land in this Oceanside area, which is we call the East Valley of Oceanside, because it takes me about 8 minutes to drive to the actual coastline. So I'm a little bit inland. And so he was telling me, because I talked about Hayek, I talked about Adam Smith, I talked about von Mises, and he didn't know who von Mises was, but he knew who Keynes was, and he knew about the Marxist ideology of redistribution of wealth, and he's adamantly against those things. So, like I said, we are definitely on the same page on many, many issues, probably 9/10 of them. And it was really nice because, he's a good guy. I've always liked him because he's easy to talk to, and he's very open to educating himself and having other people give him things that he does not know about. And he's pretty savvy on that council and what goes on in the region. So I was pleased. And before we started eating food, he looks at me and he says, do you mind if I pray? And I says, oh, by all means. And we talked a little bit about, our church activities and things. And just, it was a great meeting. I got a great insight as to how things work and how to frame it. So I will frame my next speech, and just hone it down to like one or two small issues regarding the city of Oceanside and their general plans, which are coming out of the, some other places. But I will just say the bottom line is, if you want liberty and you don't want coercion and fascism, then you have to remember, in the words of Reagan, that government is not the solution and it's not your mother and father. Government can always and usually is the problem. So that will help a lot in my speeches. I'm not sure how much further down, dumbing down I can get it for some of the audience. And because after that city council meeting and after my speech was done, and a couple days later there was one of the libtards in one of our groups, she looked at me and she said, I didn't understand your speech at all. And mine was less than probably 2.5 minutes. So, and we were allotted 3 minutes. So, and so I sat down and I actually broke it apart and tried to explain it to her. And she, because I explained about the Agenda 21 and where this comes from. And I said, what they're trying to do is get rid of the farms. I says, why do you think they're going after Aaron's farm? I said, they don't want people in rural areas. They want them all herded into the cities. They want high-rise, mixed-use, quote, low-income housing, which is not low-income in California, you know, or it's not affordable housing in California. Believe me, I can't afford a doorknob here. So anyway, so she thought about it for a second because she's completely immersed in this left-wing, far-left, libtard, swallows a hook, line, and sinker. She wouldn't know third grade science class if she fell over one, because she says, "Oh well, isn't that a good thing that we can reduce the CO2?" And I looked at her and I said, "CO2 is what you exhale." I said, "Carbon monoxide is what comes out of a car." I said, "You need a closed garage and a hose to kill yourself with it, because when it's out in the open road, it dissipates." And she's writing all this stuff down, and then she said something about, you need to, you love this one. You guys don't know who this guy is, but I'll explain in a second. She says, you need to speak to Mike Bullock. And I looked right at her because I at this point I was kind of, you know, with the heat and everything else, I was getting a little testy, but I tried to pull back a little after it. And I said, Mike Bullock's a communist. I said, this man thinks the same way. I said, he has no clue as to what's going on. He thinks that CO2 is a pollutant. I says, you breathe it out and plants love it and plants give up oxygen and that's what we breathe. So you need to get your facts straight. It's like talking to a brick wall. So anyway, Rod says she has no clue. She only goes by what she's told. Yeah, see, that's the problem. There's no doing any homework. There is no such thing as doing any research whatsoever. Yeah, very frustrating. It's head banging on the wall frustrating. There's times where it's, you know, a margarita is not enough. Probably six of them aren't enough. So Lonnie says, I served my country to protect my country. I don't know. He hasn't finished his sentence. Anyway, so, yeah, and funny because when I spoke to the councilman today, he was understanding the people that I was speaking about. He knows both of these people, the lady and the Mike guy. And he says he's on one of the this councilman's on one of the SANDAG committees, right? So he goes down, he deals with this all the time, and he says, oh, my God, he said, I know who this guy is, this Mike guy, and he says, I have to deal with him every single time. He says, and all he does is harp on the CO2, and he'll just, it's like a mantra with these people. He will say it over and over and over again, and he doesn't even know what he's talking about. And it was just absolutely amazing. And I'll go ahead and put the number in again, 378-0321. Anyway, go ahead and call. I've got like 41 minutes left. And again, Bill kind of texted me this morning and wanted me to do a show. And I said, well, I'll do 1 hour. And well, welcome back, Rod. You probably have the same problems I have because the heat's so crazy, or the weather. We're getting weird weather. But it's not due to climate change, and it's not due to human-caused anything except for the chemtrails and the rotters, the real rotters, the good old UN, whom I'd like to take them all and put them in the bottom of the ocean, which would be a very good start. And the other funny little I get kicked off. That was another thing. Somehow this when I went in to open the chat, the music was embedded unless Lonnie logged in and tried to play it or have it set up to play. So I don't know what happened with that. So, and I tried to get it off sooner. But anyway, so here we are winging it today. And like I said, Bill and Jolene are off doing their thing. And hopefully someone will call in so we can get the rest of this going. And in the meantime, I'll go back and look for a couple other items here that are really crazy. Okay, somebody trying to find the, there was a couple of them. Oh, yeah, there was cap and trade schemes, things I didn't get to. It says, somebody did their homework, that's for sure. Considering the Denver Post is a very liberal paper, I'm surprised they published this. This really shows how the hiring of illegals is false economic practices. Tina Grego is a freelance reporter. Post, she writes some really good stuff. Anyway, it keeps going on. It says, this is a good one. It's, what if they left? Somebody really did their stuff. Anyway, it says, it does not have a political slant to it. It's just the facts, not Democrat or Republican, not liberal, not conservative. So it goes on. It says, what if 20 million illegal aliens vacated America? So this journalist for the Denver Rocky Mountain News wrote a column titled Mexican Visitors Lament. So she says, I interviewed Mexican journalist Evangelina Hernandez while visiting Denver last week. Hernandez said, illegal aliens, this is their side of it, pay rent, buy groceries, and buy clothes. What happens to your country's economy if 20 million people go away? I thought, what would happen? So I did my due diligence, buried my nose as a reporter into the facts that I have found below. It is a good question, and it deserves an honest answer. Over 80% of Americans demand secured borders and illegal migration be stopped. Illegal migration. But what would happen if all the 20 million or more vacated America? The answers I found may surprise you. In California, if 3.5 million, that's how many we have here in this state alone, illegal aliens move back to Mexico, it will leave an extra $10.2 billion with a B to spend on overloaded school systems, bankrupt hospitals, and overrun prisons. It would leave highways cleaner, safer, and less congested. Everyone would understand one another as English became the dominant language again. In Colorado, 500,000 illegal migrants plus their 300,000 kids and grandchildren would move back home, mostly to Mexico. That would save Colorado an estimated $2 billion. Other experts say $7 billion annually in taxes that pay for schooling, medical, social services, and incarceration costs. It means 12,000 gang members would vanish out of Denver alone. Colorado would save more than $20 million, with an M, in prison costs and the terror that those 7,300 alien criminals set upon local citizens. Denver officer Don Young and hundreds of Colorado victims would not have suffered death, accidents, rapes, and other crimes by illegals. Denver public schools would not suffer a 67% dropout flunk rate because of thousands of illegal alien students speaking 41 different languages. At least 200,000 vehicles would vanish from the gridlocked cities in Colorado. Denver's 4% unemployment rate would vanish as our working poor would gain jobs at a living wage. In Florida, 1.5 million illegals would return the Sunshine State back to America, the rule of law, and English. In Chicago, Illinois, 2.1 million illegals would free up hospitals, schools, prisons, and highways for a safer, cleaner, and more crime-free experience. If 20 million illegal aliens returned home, the U.S. economy would return to the rule of law. Employers would hire legal American citizens at a living wage. Everyone would pay their fair share of taxes, which I know Mikey B doesn't believe in, and neither do I, because they wouldn't be working off the books. That would result in an additional $401 billion in IRS income taxes collected annually and an equal amount for local, state, and city coffers. No more push one for Spanish, two for English. No more confusion in American schools that now must contend with over 100 languages that degrade the educational system for American children. Our overcrowded schools would lose more than 2 million illegal alien kids at a cost of billions in English as a second language and free breakfasts and lunches. We would lose 500,000 illegal criminal alien inmates at a cost of more than 1.6 billion annually. That includes 15,000 MS-13 gang members who distribute $130 billion in drugs annually would vacate our country. In cities like Los Angeles, 20,000 members of the 18th Street Gang would vanish from our nation. No more Mexican forgery gangs for ID theft from Americans. No more foreign rapists and child molesters. Losing more than 20 million people would clear up our crowded highways and gridlock. Cleaner Air and Less Drinking and Driving, American Deaths by Illegal Aliens. America's economy is drained. Taxpayers are harmed. Employers get rich. Over $80 billion annually would return to the aliens' home countries by cash transfers. Illegal immigrants earn half that money untaxed, which further drains America's economy, which currently suffers an $8.7 trillion debt. 400,000 anchor babies would not be born in our country, costing us $109 billion per year per cycle. At least 86 hospitals in California, Georgia, and Florida would still be operating instead of being bankrupt, out of existence, because illegals pay nothing via the EMTOLA Act, which I don't know what the hell that is. Americans wouldn't suffer thousands of tuberculosis and hepatitis cases rampant in our country, brought by illegals unscreened at our borders. Our cities would see 20 million less people driving, polluting, and gridlocking our cities. It would also put the progressives on the horns of a dilemma. Illegal aliens and their families cause 11% of our greenhouse gases. Well, I'll debate that any old day. Over greenhouse gases, water vapor, these people also need to go back to third grade science. Over 1 million of Mexico's poorest citizens now live inside and along our border, from Brownsville, Texas, to San Diego, California, in what the New York Times called colonias, or neighborhoods. Trouble is, those living areas resemble Bombay and Calcutta, where grinding poverty, filth, diseases, drugs, crimes, no sanitation, and worse. They live without sewage, clean water, streets, roads, electricity, or any kind of sanitation. The New York Times reported them to be America's new third world inside our own country. Within 20 years, at their current growth rate, they expect 20 million residents of those colonias. I've seen them personally in Texas and Arizona. It's sickening beyond anything you can imagine. By enforcing our laws, we could repatriate them back to Mexico. We should invite 20 million aliens to go home, fix their own countries, and or make a better life in Mexico. We already invite a million people into our country legally annually, more than all other countries combined. We cannot and must not allow anarchy at our borders, more anarchy within our borders, and growing lawlessness at every level of our nation. It's time to stand up for our country, our culture, our civilization, and our way of life. I'm just going to keep going because it's amazing. Stats, 14 reasons illegal aliens should vacate America. They want us to forward these to people. $14 billion to $22 billion are spent each year on welfare to illegal aliens, and that's with a B. $7.5 billion are spent each year on Medicaid for illegals. $12 billion are spent each year on primary and secondary school education for children here illegally, and they still cannot speak a word of English. $27 billion are spent each year for education for the American-born children of illegal aliens known as anchor babies. $3 million per day is spent to incarcerate illegal aliens, which comes out to $1.2 billion a year. 28% of all federal prison inmates are illegal aliens. $190 billion are spent each year on illegal aliens for welfare and social services by the American taxpayers. $200 billion per year is suppressed. American wages are caused by the illegal aliens. The illegal aliens in the United States have a crime rate that's 2.5 times that of white non-illegal aliens. In particular, their children are going to make a huge additional crime problem in the U.S. During the year 2005, there were 8 to 10 million illegal aliens that crossed our southern border, with as many as 19,500 illegal aliens from other terrorist countries. Over 10,000 of those were Middle Eastern terrorist people. Millions of pounds of drugs, cocaine, meth, heroin, crack, guns, and marijuana crossed into the U.S. from the southern border. National Policy Institute estimates that the total cost of mass deportation would be between $206 and $230 billion, or an average cost of between $41 and $46 billion annually over a five-year period. In 2006, illegal aliens sent home $65 billion in remittances back to their countries of origin to their families and friends. The dark side of illegal immigration, nearly 1 million sex crimes are committed by illegal immigrants in the United States. So this is a total cost of a whopping $538 billion per year. So anyway, so that's that particular one. I just thought maybe people would be interested to hear that. So it's really well, yeah, I know about the ones that's the one I talked about. I did read that one that you sent me. So I have about 30 minutes left. If you folks want to weigh in on any of this, please do so. 646-378-0321, because I've kind of run out of stuff. So I just wanted to mention that. Go ahead, Mikey, if you want to weigh in on any of these things. And I wanted to, while I'm waiting for folks to call, if that's possible, tomorrow is my show, Right from the Left Coast, and I will do a one-hour show minus about 5 minutes because I have to go to this meeting. And I'll explain the meetings in a second because, like I said, we have these attorneys who are trying to help us because the people on the other side, we don't know what he's planning on doing with that property, but they're blocking the sales. They won't let people get out of here. So what we're going to do, and I'll find out tonight and tomorrow at my meeting, I don't know how long the meetings will go, but they do start at 5 o'clock my time here, and that's in about half an hour. I'm going to try to go over there after this show's finished to find out, but we're fixing on suing these guys because of the failure to maintain and all the other stuff they put us through, because there's nothing else. We have no choice, and everybody who wants to get out of here is being forced, literally. We're captive. He hires these hostile managers, and he, what they do, these two rotters, lowlives, when there's a buyer that wants to buy your house, and instead of having them come into the office and be decent to them, he yells and screams and throws them out, and half of them are, you know, running away in fear or in tears. And so we're just not going to put up with it anymore. So these people who are from downtown, that's most of what they do are these types of cases. They do have other types of cases, but they are very adept in what they call mobile home residency law. And so far, they haven't lost a case yet. So we're very lucky to have them because they're doing this completely on contingency that they win the case. And if they don't win the case, then we're not stuck with it. So that's where we're at. And it's pretty wild. And again, please call in at the number 646-378-0321 and weigh in. So I'm not sure, except for all the garbage I hear about ISIS, ISIL. Oh, and now O'Dummer is calling on, I don't know, us, the UN, the State Department, God knows who, to have a war on Ebola. So don't you love it, people? He's going to fleece you even more. He's going to find more ways of, you know, raiding the coffers and stealing money right out of your pocket with both hands. It's nuts. The man is absolutely a serpent. He's a puppet, but a very evil serpent who slithers around the Resolute desk when he's not on the golf course. I don't even understand. And then I have to deal with, of course, the feckless, ridiculous, compliant, complacent Congress. Actually, they're a Congress of baboons, and if you look up the animal species, baboons do run as a Congress. So it was, I think the founders had a pretty good sense of humor when they put these words together. So anyway, again, a few minutes left, so please call in. And I'm just reading, it was the numbers I wanted to mention. I'm waiting for the surge of millions of Chinese coming next. I don't think the Chinese are coming here. They probably got it right now almost better than we do. It says, expose 3,000 of our military and think they won't spread to here. I don't know about that one. So call in, guys. You have a good phone voice, Rod. You can call in. But again, anybody that wants to weigh in on these items and the money that goes out and the ridiculousness of not having a sovereign nation. I sent out several Numbers USA petitions today, but, you know, no matter what you say, what you do your best. They don't listen. Sometimes, you know, we've got maybe five or six people out of the 535 up there that just will listen at all. And I don't know how many of these people take acting classes because, boy, they put on a good show and they do a lot of good theater. But right now, I don't believe anything except the Bible. I'm done with these people. It's very frightening. But one thing that the councilman today and I agreed on, because he's also a Christian, he says, I told him, I says, we better get right with God and follow him all the time because we're in a mess. And he agreed. He says, oh, my gosh. He says, it's getting pretty scary. And the gentleman I talked to last night in my neighborhood who's an electrician, he's going to help me get my adapter for my generator in case we get the power outages again. That way I can have power for my house. And he says, hopefully you have food and water storage. And I says, well, I said, I have some food storage. I says, but I also have a 35-gallon water heater. And if worse comes to worse, I can start tapping into that if I have to, boil it or filter it. And so he says, yeah, that'll work. He says, just make sure people don't try to steal stuff. And I said, well, I got a couple items that'll kind of prevent that as well. He goes, good girl. So hope everybody's storing food, getting all the stuff you need. I also have a really cool first aid kit filled with Neosporin, aspirin, bandages, scissors, butterflies, everything. I've got tons of stuff, and I got some Cipro, too, so that'll help. But, again, just a few more minutes. If you guys want to keep talking or have me keep talking, I'll let you call in. Mikey, anytime, just a few more minutes, so... In the meantime, maybe I'll play a short song, Waiting for Folks. See if there's, I know there's a really good one in here. Please, part. This is just a short one. It's only 9 seconds.
You think the people of this country exist to provide you with position. I think your position exists to provide those people with freedom.
Yep, freedom. Do we even know what that is anymore? Oh, gosh. Okay, here's one. Currency. This one is General Clark, and I know this is one of Ron's favorite. Yeah, thanks, Rod Luke, but I didn't, like I said, I was just going through.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon, and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who had used to work for me, and one of the generals called me, and he said, sir, you got to... come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second. I said, well, you're too busy. He said, no. He says, we've made the decision we're going to war with Iraq. This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, we're going to war with Iraq? Why? He said, I don't know. He said, I guess they don't know what else to do. So I said, well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to al-Qaeda? He said, No. He says, there's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq. He said, I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments. And he said, I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, are we still going to war with Iraq? And he said, oh, it's worse than that. He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran. The truth is about the Middle East is, had there been no oil there, it would be like Africa. Nobody is threatening to intervene in Africa. The problem is the opposite. We keep asking for people to intervene and stop it. And there's no question that the presence of petroleum throughout the region has sparked great power involvement. Whether that was the specific motivation for the coup or not, I can't tell you. But there was definitely, there's always been this attitude that somehow we could intervene and use force in the region.
You know, it's really interesting. I'm talking about the oil, and I know Ron's talked about this too, but Ron's more into the power control and monetary system, and I do think he's correct. What's really astounding, and I know that there's several people talking about it, even on good old Hannity's show today, but other people have talked about it on their shows as well, and I've mentioned this before. We are so natural gas, shale, coal, and oil rich on this land that I'm sitting on right now, New York, California, Alaska, everywhere we want to name, I mean, right now they've got quite a situation, and even in Pennsylvania, of course, North Dakota and Midland, Texas, where their unemployment rate's almost 1.0. It's amazing, and the jobs that are created, the wealth of those areas that can be created, the trade that can be created, the use of our own natural resources that we have. They're gifts from God, and the freakazoids won't let us go get it. And thank God they do have some private lands left, which is another bone of contention of mine, why the hell we have federal governments owning land on this place. But then, of course, Ron did explain that in 1861, that was yesterday, we lost our Constitution and we lost our Republic. And then we had the reconstruction of whatever the system is of a national government, not a federal government. So these are the things that, that bother people. And today, while I was waiting for my breakfast date to come, basically I was reading the preface to the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions by a person who's a fellow at the Von Mises Institute, and it was just astounding, wonderful stuff. And I don't have it in front of me, so I can't go grab it, but again, please call in. About 18 minutes left, 646-378-0321. Again, I get very upset with the people who, like the EPA and all the other little rotten Lilliputians, and these people who think they're dictators, and they do. They run around like Nazis and Gestapo, and they go to people and say, well, you can't do that, and we're going to fine you X amount of $1,000 a day until you stop doing it on your own property. I don't know where they're getting their authority from, other than from our stupid idiot Congress and this administration and previous administrations as well. It's very, very frustrating, and I do think one of the people that hangs out with Mikey B on his show, AJ, has it correct. He says, you just need to get out of the way because the steamroller's coming. He says, don't stand there and let it run over you, because it will. That's what steamrollers do. Anyway, I want to also plug Mikey's show, and that's going to be Thursday, 8 Central, 9 Eastern. And so you guys got to tune in for that. I'll try to get the blast out. I did put the feature part out, so we'll get that done on Thursday. And so, it would be 9 Eastern for y'all. And then welcome, FT. Hopefully Mike will call in and help me plug that. We also have Terry Rowland Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern, and I think she's all set to go. So we had a glitch at BTR. I don't know what happened. But I've looked over everything in the upcoming episodes, and all the dates look correct, so I'm hoping that that we've got that fixed. And, again, so that's a wonderful show. And then, of course, tomorrow night I'm on 7 p.m. Eastern, right from the left coast. And like I said, I'm going to do 1 hour because then I've got to scoot out really quick. I've got people coming from San Marcos that want to attend this meeting, and there's no way for me to miss this one. It's like huge, because I'm not sure if the attorneys are going to ask us to sign something or, partake in the class action suit tomorrow, or if it's just, okay, the contracts are coming, give me your name, whoever's signing up, raise your hand kind of thing. So we're going to find out, but we're just done with these people. The roads are crumbling here. I don't know what his stance is on what they have. They have a transformer in the middle of the park. It's pretty good size. And it 2 years in a row, usually around New Year's Eve, God knows why, probably because it's dead of winter. And these particular times were very, very cold. And the power blows. The thing blows up. Sounds like a bomb going off. And then we're without electricity for 15 hours. Well, that's why this one got the generator not too long ago and getting ready to get that going. So, hopefully, but in this heat, I can't store my gasoline, even with stable or stable, however you pronounce it, because it would blow up on me. It's just ridiculous. It's so hot. So I have to make sure I keep cash around and go get a couple gallons of gas in my gas can. Hopefully that won't happen. But we may have, because of this heat, if this grid goes down, and it did go down the last time we had this 90 degrees heat at this hour, It only went down for a couple minutes, but it happened twice within 20 minutes. So we're just praying for that we don't lose it today. And if you would call in, Mike, we've got plenty of time left to say what you want to say and plug your show. Again, Bill and his crew are kind of unavailable. I know that Lonnie was trying to get back in because his laptop's messed up right now. But anyway, so I was filling in because he wants his show to continue. And he and Jolene had to go to a funeral deal. It was apparently the pastor that that married them a few years back. So anyway, that's where we are. If there's any national news, local news, state news in your areas you guys want to talk about, please let me know. Type it in, call in, and we can discuss it. So let's see if there's any. I'll get that one quick one, the one that it's kind of cute if I can find it. There's hard to find stuff in here. You have to go through alphabetical. And if I knew how to do it, I would download stuff in here, but I don't. So, but I'll do the cute one. It's only 19 seconds.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're going to have to send me home. 'Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
Yeah, anyway, that's a fun one, and I think Ron got that one in there for us. But there was a couple songs I was hoping to get. Maybe if I get them downloaded into my computer well enough, then I can send them off in a zip file to Ron, and he'll put them in for me. Because my computer does not like to configure with all the stuff that Mike has sent me and other people have tried to get me to do. I've tried, and it's just frustrating, and I'm not a whiz. I'm not a computer whiz. I probably need a 17-year-old who knows how to hack into the FBI, get this dang thing to work. But so that's where we are. So, again, thank you guys for joining. If no one wants to call, I'm going to go find some more music to take us out. Unbearably hot, and hopefully we will be with Terry on Thursday and Mikey B shortly after her show. And I'm on tomorrow, and let's see if we got – I'm going to do Living in America if I can find it. Here we go. Thank you guys. Be blessed. Have a great night, and I'll see you tomorrow.